Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. I'm so excited to be with you today and continuing our teaching and our discussion of characteristics of a heaven-sent revival. And I can't emphasize enough, this is what we must have in America, Mexico, Canada, Ireland, England, Uganda, Pakistan, India, wherever you may be listening today, Cameroon, Bangladesh, and I'm thinking of another nation that a friend of mine has gone to so much. I think it's just on the east side of India, but maybe it will come to me later. But all over the world, the nations are needing a visitation of God. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're praying for. And I hope you will join me and many others. I pray the Spirit of God will stir you to begin to pray specifically for another. In America, they have been called Great Awakenings. And I have documented 4 Great Awakenings in my book, America's Revival Heritage. And so the last 2 sessions, we've been talking about prayer. Prayer being a characteristic of revival. Yes, a certain kind of prayer. Such heaven-sent revivals are always given in answer to prayer. They can't be humanly planned and strategized. They can't be made to happen simply by bringing in some talented musicians and a talented preacher. All of that may be good, but that will not in and of itself bring a heaven-sent revival, another great awakening. Such a revival is sent in answer to the sincere, fervent, and today I'm going to say focused prayers of God's people. And we're going to talk about a characteristic of revival praying today that is focused. The last 2 days we talked about prayer that is intent and sincere, passionate. Today we're going to talk about prayer that is focused. Wow. I tell you, this was made very real to me when I was a student in Bible school many years ago at Christ for the Nations. And this was a very turbulent time in American society. In the 60s, we had had 3 assassinations of a president, and then of his brother who had served as attorney general and was running for the Senate. Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated, and then the civil rights icon, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was assassinated, and there had been riots and all sorts of terrible things going on in the society, and then there was what was called Watergate. It was a great political issue that arose and over some wrongdoings, supposedly by President Richard Nixon, and he was forced to resign, and then the vice president resigned. So it was a really turbulent and dangerous times. And so in the Bible school, my first year at Bible school, this would have been in the spring of 74. I started in the fall of 73. In the spring of 74, they announced that they were going to set aside, I believe it was the final 6 weeks of school. We normally had a chapel service for 30 minutes before classes. I believe the chapel service started at 8 o'clock and went to 8:30, and then the break, and then classes started at 9. And usually somebody, a student maybe brought a song or brought a testimony. They tried to involve the student body. And that sort of thing. And of course, there was like corporate praise and worship and so on. And then usually a testimony from a student, something along those lines. I think you get the idea. But they announced that they were going to cancel that and they were going to pray instead. And they announced the reason was they were going to pray for the nation. The nation was in turmoil. The nation was in trouble. And so they announced specifically, this is what we are praying for. We're praying for the nation. And these were people who believed in revival. So Even though I don't know that they use the word praying for revival, I know that that was a part of the thinking, but they specifically said, we're coming together to pray for the nation. Well, I still remember those were some of the most powerful, maybe the most powerful prayer meetings I have ever been in. And sometimes they would go on for hours, and we're not able to break for class. And there was a spirit of prayer that seemed to come upon the student body and would go on and pray for hours, even starting at 8 and pray into the afternoon. And it was so powerful that we had people coming in from the community and joining. We had about a 400-member student body, but then we had people coming in from the community. And I can still remember how the prayers, it would be like there would just be a roar of prayer. And there wasn't somebody up directing, we're going to pray about this next, we're going to pray about this. There was just an openness just to let the Holy Spirit lead. And I can remember the place just sounding like a roar of prayer. And then just on its own, it would start coming down and getting quieter and softer and then coming down to a place. And then there would just be absolute silence, 400 or 500 people or more, and just everybody sitting in absolute silence. Nobody moving, nobody doing anything, because there was such a sense of God's holy presence. And there were times, not every time, but times there would be a tongue and an interpretation, a prophecy that would come forth. And then at times, without anybody directing it, the prayer would start. It sounded like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then it would grow and it would swell. And then it would be like a roar of prayer again. And then it might come down again, come down, 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 and then absolute quietness. And just hundreds of people sitting in quietness in the holy presence of God. And then the prayer would start again, and it would build and build. And I remember one of the first public prophecies I brought forth was during one of those times. And I won't go into detail. It's very interesting, the detail of it. But man, I was so deeply stirred down in my spirit. And what God was saying was that he had heard our prayers and he was intervening and altering the course of the nation, and he wanted us to start praising him. Yes, keep praying, but I want you to start praising me for what I am doing in this hour. And so there was a change, tremendous change that took place in America after that. The whole direction, the whole trajectory of the country changed. As a result of those prayers and the prayers of others, many other people were praying as well. But then here's where I want to show you about the importance of focused prayer. The next year, they announced that they were going to do the same thing. They were going to dismiss chapel for the last 6 weeks, and they were going to pray. Now, here's what they said about it. They said, it was so good last year, we're going to do it again this year. They didn't announce a purpose for the prayer. They're just going to do it because it was so good last year. But that year, you know, it was good, but there was something missing. It obviously did not have the edge, the power, the presence of God that it had the year before. And it was so distinct and so real that there was something lacking, that I remember asking the Lord, Lord, what is the difference in this year and last year? And God directed me to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. And Paul said, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. You ever watch boxing or any kind of fighting sport? When the boxer gets in the ring, he doesn't just go around beating the air. No, he has a goal. He has a focus to land a blow on the chin of his opponent. And when a runner is running a race, he does not run with uncertainty which way do I go? How fast do I want to run? No, he knows the distance he's going. He knows where the goal is, and he runs with certainty. He runs with purpose. And there is One translation says, I do not run aimlessly. I do not run aimlessly, but I run with purpose. I do not beat the air. I'm not like a fighter beating the air, but I am fighting the fight of faith with purpose. I have a goal in mind. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, last year they had a stated purpose in praying. This year, they're just praying because it was good last year. And all of a sudden, I realized that we need to have a stated purpose in our prayers. And I will close with, we may have to deal with this more tomorrow, but with Jesus healing the blind man Bartimaeus. And as he was passing through Bartimaeus' hometown of Jericho, and Bartimaeus was begging by the roadside, and he heard all this commotion. He said, what's going on? They said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing through, and there was a great crowd with him. And Bartimaeus began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it was obvious to Jesus and everyone else that this was a blind man, a beggar. And but he kept crying out at the top of his voice, even though some people tried to get him to be quiet. He cried out louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped, and he called the blind man to come to him. And the blind man came to him. Now, obviously, he would have had to have somebody to lead him unless he was able to follow the voice. But Jesus, it's interesting what Jesus said to him. What do you want me to do? You're making all this noise. You're shrieking. You're crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, Jesus required him to become focused in his praying. Jesus required him to become specific. It wasn't enough for him just to be praying loud, general prayers. What is it that you want me to do? Then he got specific and he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. And the Bible says he followed Jesus in the way, and which may indicate Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, that he became a follower of Jesus from then on. I mean, I think that should be expected to receive such a miracle like that. But the point I'm leaving you with is how that Jesus required him to become focused and specific and state, here is the goal of my prayer. Here's what I want to see accomplished. And so, my friends, in our praying, we are not praying aimlessly. We are not running with uncertainty and aimlessly. No, we have a specific goal, and we're praying, God, send another great awakening to America. Send another heaven-sent revival across this land. And God, send it to Mexico. Send it to Canada. Send it to Ireland. Send it to the islands of the sea and the nations of the world. Lord, you said that in the last days you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. And we ask you to send, hallelujah, that heaven-sent revival, a new Pentecost into the churches across this land and across the communities of everyone who's listening to this podcast, in Jesus' name. Hey, I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm recommending the book 1726 this week. It talks about revivals in America, but the principles are applicable anywhere in the world. So no matter what country you live in, you will be greatly blessed, inspired, and informed by the examples, the experiences you read, and also the principles that you will learn. It's called 1726, and it's available from our website at eddiehyatt.com, also available on Amazon, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless.